You've gathered. Today is our Children's and Family Ministry Sunday, and it's where we celebrate kids and family together, and we do this once a year, kind of pull back from our normal series stuff. And you've already saw the kids announcing. We had kids greeting at the door. I even told one of the greeters, I said, listen, you might be out of a job next week. These kids are nailing it, and super cute with that, and we have a couple things left in the service as well with some kids being part of it. So I do want to say just two fast things. One is, you notice when you sat down around you was one of these called The Road to Joy. And this is a devotional, free devotional we're giving you for Easter. And so like we do with Advent at Christmas, we do an Advent devotional. This is one for Easter. And so if you didn't get one or you sat down and they're gone around you, there's more on the Connect desk on your way out. Grab one there. And this is a way for you just to kind of prepare your hearts in the Lenten season for Good Friday and then also for Easter Sunday. And so I encourage you, take one, begin reading that on your own. Second thing is, you noticed on our Connect desk, if you saw, we have Easter invites. So I want to encourage you, as I think, or who had said up here, but invite a friend. Is there a neighbor, a friend, a family member that you think would be a great opportunity to invite to Easter Sunday? Have them come. Let's celebrate. We've got cards for you. Grab one on the Connect desk. Hand out this. There'll also be a digital invite that we're sending out as well. The second thing I want to mention is, we have a new part on our website called Faith and Finance, and we want to be a generous people. We want to be people who are generous in our giving. Because why? Because we serve a generous God, amen? A God who did not spare his own son, the Bible said, but gave us everything. And so one of the ways we want to help you, we have a new resource on our Connect desk. It's called Simplifying the Money Conversation. It's a workbook. You could do this with your spouse. You could do this in your family. Grab. There's a stack of them on the Connect desk. Another way we want to resource and equip you with your generosity and finances. Also want to mention, the next Sunday, I will not be here. I'm going to be out of town. And so one of our elders, Russ Barm, is going to be preaching. And so excited for Russ to share next Sunday. All right, let me jump in. And the title of today's message is Catapult. It is Catapult. And why it's Catapult is, you know, I remember when my two daughters were younger, every fall, maybe like many of you, we would go to a pumpkin farm. And we were in the pumpkin farm, and there's one out in Fall City area over there in North Bend. And it was awesome because you got to go on the hayride. Everyone likes the hayride, right? And you got to go out and pick your pumpkin. They had these little warm donuts, too. It just makes your mouth water even thinking of it. These little warm donuts, and we'd always pick up our little donuts right there. But one of the things this one time we went that I noticed is, everybody was gathered around this one area, and then went over there, and you couldn't see really well, but when you got closer, there was a massive pumpkin. You know, like the ones they make, right, that are just huge, I mean, like a 400-pound pumpkin. And it was over there, and everybody was gathered around it, but it was in this contraption. And you're kind of like, what is that thing? And then everyone starts counting down. 10, 9, 8, 7, it gets to 0. All of a sudden, this 400-pound pumpkin just goes flying in the air, like 100 feet in the air high, like 200 feet out of this field. It's amazing. And just goes landing in this field. It was a huge catapult. And what they would do every day, they would do this. They put a new huge pumpkin, they catapult it out into the field. And if you can picture that image, what I was thinking about, that's a really helpful image to think about as parents, what we're hoping to do with our kids. We want to catapult them out to live for Jesus wherever he's put them, amen? Whether it be their school or their friend's house or the pizza place or the gym or whatever it is, we want to catapult our kids, launch our kids to live faithfully for Jesus and have a heart and passion for Jesus, wherever that is. And so I want to talk today about what that looks like and some ways that we can catapult our kids out that way. Of course, the Bible doesn't give us a guarantee with things, but we can create an environment, we can do things that help catapult our kids to have a love for God and when they get out into the world. So I want to give us three things. Here's the first one. They have to see it in me first. They have to see it in me first. You know, when I went to college, I went to Western Washington University in Bellingham, and I was in the dorm there my first year. And up on the sixth floor, I was in a guys-only floor. And I think it was like a week before I took my first shower, which is totally normal. You're probably like, why did you share that with us? And what it had on the one floor, guys-only, is there was one big bathroom. And that's pretty normal. and everybody, you know, would shower in there and then get a dress and do all your stuff and everything. And one day I was in there, and I'd met a couple guys on my floor, and I became friends with them. And after showering all that, up in the mirror and shaving. And this guy next to me is one of my friends. He came right there, and he started shaving. And he looks over at me, and immediately he looks at me. He's like, "What are you doing?" And I was like, "What do you mean?" And he had a straight-edge razor, and I had like an electrical razor. And he's like, "Why are you using that?" And I honestly sat there, and I was like, I don't know. I thought that's what everybody used. Everybody used electrical razor. And he's like, no, everybody used a straight edge razor. And I was like thinking, well, where did you get that from? And he goes, oh, my dad showed me. And then I said, same with me, my dad showed me. And I began to think about it, and I was like, wait a minute, my dad never really told me to use an electric razor. I just learned that from my dad. That's what I thought every guy did. You use an electric razor, not a straight edge. And I began to think about all the ways that my dad shaped me growing up. All the ways that my dad, maybe he didn't realize it, but he was forming and shaping me as I was growing up. And what it made me think of is this: when it comes to parenting, you might have heard this before, and a lot of things in life, more is caught than taught. More is caught than taught. And right, kids catch things, don't they? Kids catch colds and flus, but they catch also your values, they catch your priorities, they catch your perspectives. They catch what you're doing and what you're not doing in your life. And here's the thing. If you want your kids to have a vibrant, transformative relationship with Jesus Christ, the deal is you have to be living a vibrant, transformative relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen? If you want to see that in your kids, they first have to see it in you, in your own life. All the research backs up this, that parents are the biggest influencers in their child's life. More than school, more than friends. Parents are the number one influencers of their kids. All the research, again, backs all this up. And so, parents, it is you that the kids are watching, and they are catching what it looks like to follow Jesus. I love this quote from John Maxwell, a pastor and leader. This is what he said, quote, "You can teach your kids what you know, but you reproduce what you are." You can teach your kids what you know, you reproduce what you are. I said this a lot, and it bears repeating because it's so important to hear this and keep doing that. You can't give what you don't possess. You can't give what you don't possess, and your kids can't catch what they don't see. If you don't possess a heart and passion and Jesus the number one thing in your life, your kids can't catch that. You can't give something that you don't have. And so that's why it's so important to start with yourself. And this is also backed up in the Bible. I mean, this is what the Bible teaches. Deuteronomy chapter 6, 5 through 7 says this: "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give to you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up." Did you notice the progression in that text? Here's how it started. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These commandments I give you today are to be upon whose heart? Your heart. The first part of the scripture is, I've got to be doing this. So parents, are you loving God with all your heart? Are you loving God with all your mind, with all of your strength, with all of your soul? Is that what you're doing? And then the next part from that is, second, I can then impress that on my children. The second thing I noticed in this text as well, it says, talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. In other words, it can't just be a Sunday thing, parents. It can't just be a Sunday. Jesus can't just be a Sunday for you. Jesus has got to be Monday through Saturday. It's got to be, and I love it, it says there, when you get up, when you sit down, when you go on the road, when you walk around. In other words, all of life. Your kids have to see Jesus as a part of all of your life. Every single part of it. Kids are so quick to pick up when we say something, but then it's not backed up in our life. Kids see that constantly, and they watch us. And they have to see that Jesus is a part of my everyday life. You know, I've shared before, when I was in the fourth or fifth grade, I got an invite for basketball to go over to this one guy's house. He was a coach in Spokane, and it was a club basketball team, and I can't remember, my dad knew somebody, and I got invited and went there and made the team and quickly became best friends with the coach's son. His name is Jay, and his dad, Fred. I've shared about him before. And his dad was the owner of Northwest Basketball Camp. So it was a basketball camp. And went from just locally here in the Northwest to it's now all across the whole entire world. And as you can imagine, his dad, Fred, I would see him at these camps. I started going to the camps and being part of the camps. And here he was at these camps. And there's times when he was up in front of 1,000 students. I mean, a large crowd of people. And he was a bigger-than-life guy. I mean, he was just incredibly talented communicator and passion for Jesus, and he'd be up front sharing about his faith and how God's working in his life and all these things. But the thing about this is I got to see him at home. I was best friends with his son, and so I, during my fourth and fifth grade years, I was literally at their house almost every weekend. Every weekend I was like, I want to go spend the night there. And I'd go spend the night and stay there. And so I got to see this man, Fred Kroll, on the stage, but I got to see him behind the closed doors of his home. Right? And oftentimes we think, you know, someone looks like this, but in reality, go spend a week with them in their home and you find out who they really are. And then I went at the home and here's what I found out. He was the exact same guy. The exact same guy. The man you saw on the stage was the exact same father at home. I saw him love his wife. I saw him serve his wife. I saw him respect his wife. I saw him talk about his faith all the time. Like wherever we would go, it'd be in the car, it'd be at the lake, it'd be driving somewhere, it'd be at the camp, it'd be in the hot tub at the house, and he'd be talking about Jesus. He'd be talking about his life with God. I remember one of the things I hated because I didn't believe in God and wanted nothing to do with God in the fourth, fifth grade, but we would go there, and on Sunday mornings, and we were there, and we couldn't make it to a church service, he'd tell Jay and I that we had to find a psalm or a proverb and bring it down to the breakfast table, and we're going to discuss together. And we were like, oh, no way. And so I'd open up Psalms and go, right there. And I'd grab a Psalm or Proverb and pick it out. And I'd go down and share probably the worst interpretation possible of that text. And but he would do that. And then he would sit there and he'd talk about God with us. And it was amazing. I saw the way he treated his wife. As I said before, we'd go out in the hot tub. They had a hot tub. And we'd sit out there and he'd talk about faith. He'd talk about God. And 4 years ago, he passed away from cancer. And at the service, before the service, they invited people to do a video if you wanted, and they would show that video at the memorial service. And so I made a video, a short one, and of course I couldn't even make it through it. I was crying. And in that video, here I am, this is 30 years later. And I said in that video, I said, here I am today. I've been a father for like 16 years. I've been a husband for almost 20 years. I've been a pastor for about 6, 7, 8 years. And I said, the man, the father, the husband, the pastor, the leader I am today is a direct result of Fred Kroll. It's a direct result of him. What you see in my home, what you see in my leadership, what you see me pastor, what you see as a dad, it is a direct result of that man and what he did in my life. And that's what happens when you allow someone to shape you. And when I was around him, a lot more was caught than was taught. Seeing how he lived in his life. I think about what my kids have caught from me. What they've got for me is dad's a poor listener. That's been a common theme they've learned. They've caught dad's the last one out of the house. It's like, we're always ready to go, and it's always, dad, let's go. I forgot something. Oh, hold on. Dad's always last out of the house. They've caught dad's a really good dancer. I put on my headphones in the kitchen, I empty the dishwasher, and I'm just dancing while I'm doing the dishes. Dad's got some awesome moves. Dad's a good dancer, right? They've caught that dad's going to embarrass us in public, even though we've told him to stop doing that. Dad does it all the time. But I also hope they've caught that I love their mom like crazy. I hope they've caught that he has a passionate, consuming love for Jesus. I hope they've caught dad loves us and dad would do anything for us. I hope that's what they've caught for me. You know, we actually, a number of years ago, this is probably 9, 10 years ago, and we went through kind of a really hard financial season as a family. There was like multiple months, just like everything kept happening, and it was over and over. And I'll never forget, sat there, my wife and I were talking, and I was like, you know, should we talk about this with the kids? And kind of went back and forth, and finally was like, yeah, we should bring our kids into this. I mean, at like an appropriate level. And we did. And we sat there with our kids and said, hey, you know, we really need help with this. And literally, I remember for like 2, 3 weeks straight, every night sitting with our kids going to bed, praying with them for God's provision, praying with them that we don't trust in money, we trust in God, praying with them that we are going to be a generous people because our generosity is not conditioned on our money, it's conditioned on God. And so we're going to keep doing this. And every day we just prayed and we prayed and we prayed. And I hope that what my kids caught and they saw was mom and dad trust in God. When things get hard, they go to Jesus. I hope that's what they saw in our family. And there's been many of those times that we've done that. And hopefully they've caught more than we've taught, but also are teaching too, I hope. I just want to give very practically, what are some like practical things we can do as a couple, as a parent? And I just want to give a couple of things. This is the thing. Your faith will be most revealed in trials and tests. Where most will be caught in your home, it's not so much what happens to you, it's how you handle what happens to you. Your kids are watching when you go through pressure, stress, issues, difficulty, pain, loss. They're watching you. And they're seeing how you handle those things. And they're seeing whether your faith is actually real in those moments or you run to something else. Second thing to think about, this is the deal. You can't shape someone from a distance. Might sound obvious, but you can't shape someone. You have to be in a relationship with your kids. You have to be investing in your kids. You have to be spending time with your kids. You have to be sacrificing your own personal comforts so you can invest in them, because you can't shape people from a distance. You can only do it up close and personal. Tech stuff. I mean, we live in a tech world, right? What are your kids seeing with you and tech stuff? How you handle your phone? How often you're on your phone? How much you're on social media? Are you modeling for them that? Are you showing them how to handle tech well? Talk about what God's teaching you. It doesn't need to be formal devotional stuff. It could just be driving in the car. Are you sharing about ways that things you're learning about God? Ways you're growing as a Christian? Sharing that. Read your Bible in a place where your kids can see you read your Bible, so they know you value the Bible and you love the Bible and you care about God's word. A big one is this: how you treat your spouse. Your kids are watching how you treat your spouse. They are seeing how you act towards your spouse, the tone of voice you have towards your spouse, what you say to your spouse. They are watching all those things about your spouse. And the other thing, parents, is make sure you prioritize your marriage. Make sure your kids are seeing marriage matters. Make sure you see we are not going to sacrifice our marriage on the altar of parenting. We are going to put our marriage and we're going to show our kids it matters. Those are just a number of small things, but I want to ask today, what are your kids catching from you? What are your kids catching from you? Okay, here's a second thing. Nothing rocket scientist or crazy, but here it is. Pray your heart out. Pray your heart out. What's the most important gift you can give your kids? A quality education, good. Healthy diet, childhood, memories that are amazing, great vacations, a large inheritance, right? A home filled with love, a box full of Legos, all good things. The best gift you can give your kids is to pray for them, is to daily, daily pray for them. I love what Paul says in Philippians. He says, quote, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. I love that. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Pray for your kids. And if you're asking why exactly should I do that? There's lots of reasons, but let me give you quick three reasons to pray your heart out for your kids. Number one is this: they don't live in a neutral world. They do not live in a neutral world. There's not a blank slate in our world that your kids are going out and writing their own stories. The Bible very clearly teaches there is an enemy who has a plan of attack for your kids. Jesus says that Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And the thing you have to remember as parents is this, is that Satan has a specific, tailored strategy for each of your children. He has a specific strategy. Think about it. For thousands of years, Satan has been working with millions and millions and millions of families, millions of parents and kids. Don't you think he's smarter than you and he's figured it out? He knows exactly what he needs to do to get into the lives and hearts of your kids. And so it would make sense and make me think, well, wait a minute, I've got to do my part then. So one of the things we're praying about is, God, would you help my kids not buy into the lies of Satan? Would you help open the heart and the mind and the eyes of my child to see who you are and what you're doing in their life? Would you give them strength when times when they feel defeated? When Satan lies to them about who they are and their identity, would you speak truth over them of who they are in Christ? God, would you do the things that only you can do in their lives? The second thing you can pray for is this, is to trust God, not our perceptions. You know, how many times in life have you thought something would be good for you and you did it and it turned out not to be good? Every hand should be up on that one. How many times have you thought something wouldn't be good for you and you tried to avoid it, but you had to go through it, and you look back 5 years later and you thought that wasn't fun, but that was exactly what I needed? Amen? We've all been there. And the reality is this, is we are really bad at knowing what's actually good for us. We're really poor at that. Because we're self-centered, because we have finite, we can't see in the future. And so often as we think these things are good, but we look back 30 years later and realize that wasn't good, and God was doing that. And we look at that as parents. I want to say this: God is trustworthy, and what I think I see at any given moment is not. God is trustworthy, what you see any given moment is not. Be careful to base your perceptions of where your kids are at on what you see right now. And there's two sides to that. Be careful when you look at your kids right now and you see them flourishing and doing wonderful, because in 3 years from now, that may not be the case. Your kids are struggling right now and discouraged right now. In 3 years, that may not be the case. You don't know where they will be at. And so we pray. We pray, God, I pray that you are doing the things I cannot. God, I pray that you are working in their heart in ways I can't even touch. God, I pray you are helping me look beyond the immediate to where you are and what you're going to do 10, 20, 30 years down the road in their life. You guys ever heard of Christopher Hitchens before? Christopher Hitchens, if you haven't, a famous atheist. Christopher Hitchens, one of the most well-known atheists. He wrote like 18 different books on atheism and spoke all over the world on it. One of the most well-known authors with that. He died in 2011 from cancer. And his younger brother, his name's Peter Hitchens, also grew up in an atheistic home. And if you can believe this, Peter wanted to really make sure people knew he hated God and wanted nothing to do with God. And so at 15 years old at his school, in front of the other students at his school, he took out a Bible and he burned it in front of his school to make sure everybody knew, I'm rejecting God, I want nothing to do with God. That was the age of 15. At the age of 61, Peter Hitchens gave his life to Christ. 40 years, almost 40 years later. If you would have looked at Peter Hitchens as a kid or in high school, what would you have concluded? This kid wants nothing to do with God and is going a very different direction. And sure enough, 40 years later, he gives his life to Christ. You don't know. You don't know what the future holds. That's why we trust God and not what you see right now. Don't lose heart, parents. If your kid's struggling right now, do not lose heart. Continue praying with all your might for what God's going to do. Here's the last one. It humbly reminds me I'm not my kid's savior, Jesus is. I'm not my kid's savior, Jesus is. You know the honest truth? So I have a daughter who's going to be graduating this year from high school, going to college. And what 18 years of parenting has taught me is this: I have less and less confidence in my own parenting abilities, and I have a lot more dependence on God's grace. Amen? As 18 years into it, I can tell you, I have less and less confidence in my ability to do things.